episode 231.
A lot of that conversation has nothing to do with, you know, talking about parts or dealing with customers or anything like that. It's all talking about the business and working on the business together as a team that way to bring me along to help me get to the point that he's at.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and welcome to Remarkable Results Radio, the automotive aftermarket's powerful resource of online, on-demand, digital audio content. It's just like Netflix for radio. I'm with Tony Tadich here in episode 231. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Now, when you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, ANCO, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Hey, thanks to you, episode listens are way up. My guests and I can produce great podcasts, but to make it worth our energy, we need listeners. I was wondering if you could do me a favor. There are many in the aftermarket that have not heard of the podcast or even know what podcasting is. You've discovered the value of the insights, trends, and remarkable results stories. So would you share? Tell a friend. If you tell a friend, they won't forget that you brought them here. You can forward your insider newsletter, a social share, or just show a friend how to download the free app. Now, just before we get to Tony Tadich, let me remind you to find the show notes for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E231. Hey, a big shout out to new Facebook friends Mike Monahan, Paul Marquardt, Robert Duncanson, and John Foro, and to my new LinkedIn connections, Brian Homan, Kenneth Walsh, Mark Dooling, and Aaron Schuett. Thank you all for connecting. I'm grateful. Hey, when I was at Vision High Tech Training and Expo March 2017, I met a lot of people. One of them, an impressive 29-year-old millennial, Tony Tadich. Now, here's a young man who has a great focus on his strengths and challenges, and he knows his role as a second-generation member of the family business. Tony brings his millennial views to this interview, and I think you'll find him mature beyond his age as he discusses a succession plan with his dad. Their business is in Bremen, Indiana, with a whopping population of 4,600 people. Now, keep that in mind as you hear Tony talk about the family business. Listen for his hybrid strategy, the importance of a strong business culture, what he and his dad are doing to communicate and stay together on things, and his loaner car program, among a dozen other talking points in this episode. Hey, I want you to listen for Tony's refreshing attitude and spirit. I think you'll agree that our industry will be in good hands in the future with leaders like Tony Tadich. Now, here we go. A warm welcome to Tony Tadich from TMT Complete Auto Service Center in Bremen, Indiana. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you. I appreciate being on.
Hey, glad to have you here. We met at Vision, you and I, and we just hooked. We connected somehow, and you were telling me some great stuff. And what I loved about it and why I have you on is you're a millennial and a second-generation millennial. Before we jump into that, Tony, Bremen, 4,600 people. Is that a typically small town?
That is a normally small town out this way and stuff. So it's a lot of cornfields around us, a lot of towns in between us and everything, but a very small population and stuff around here. So
I imagine it's cow country dairy farms.
Cow country dairy farms. The city limits are 2.72 square miles in radius. So yeah, very, very tiny. Two stoplights.
So your dad started the business 33 years ago?
Yes, sir. Dad started the business in 1984. And little unique thing about him and I both is neither one are technicians. My dad started the business as a salesman. He was a new car salesman at a GM dealership for about 3 years and decided that he wanted to get into the business of fixing cars because he thought it would be fun and a unique business and everything. So we come from a background of not being technicians.
Well, that's a true entrepreneurial drive and a spirit, knowing, hey, I have an interest, let's do this, I'll get us start a business and I'll figure it out, right?
Really, for him to take that plunge at 23 years of age and not having a father around and not having, you know, technical experience and stuff, it was a very unique transition, I'm sure, for him at that point in time.
So here it is, 33 years later. Are you in that same kind of age bracket? Are you a little older?
I'm a little older. I started full-time 8 years ago, or 9 years ago, actually. I was 20, just before I turned 21 and stuff, and came along. And I was kind of in the role that I was all throughout my teenage years and high school years. I was sweeping floors and doing oil changes and changing tires and talking with some of the customers. And then Dad got this bright idea that at that point in time, we were open 6 days a week, and he didn't want to work Saturdays anymore. So he took the gamble when I was 21 and said, you know what, you just run Saturdays and you do it on your own and let's see what you can do and stuff. And Saturdays were a little successful. They were a little hit and miss and stuff. And in today's evolution of our business, we're not open Saturdays, and business grew after not being open Saturdays. But we can get into that a little bit later too.
So he tossed you the baton and he said, Tony, let me see what you can do. I mean, feel any pressure?
A little bit. I don't feel a lot of pressure in a lot of cases. I'm a lower pressure type of guy that way and stuff. But it definitely was a hard thing that way and stuff to say, you know what? All right, he's not even going to be here, and I got to try to answer all these questions and do all this on my own and everything without, you know, sinking or swimming. So,
well, I worked for a dad too, and you know, he assumed you knew everything he did, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. So yeah, there was not a lot of training in the business. There wasn't a lot of thought process that way that we now have today, you know, 9 years later and stuff with where we've currently evolved to.
Dads like to throw people in the deep end of the pool, and in the back of their minds are saying, does he know how to tread water? Is he going to survive? And it's almost like that immersion, you know, dunk them down, get them real wet and see what happens. That's what it was, right?
Very much so. And I think the thing that he felt the most comfort with is he knew that I could sell. We had owned a Radio Shack franchise that I sold in Radio Shack for a little while and stuff through my teenage years and stuff after schools and on Saturdays and Sundays. And he knew I could talk to people. He knew I could sell. He knew I could do the proper thing that way and communicate properly to people. And that's so much of what this business needs is proper communication between service advisors and customers. In the business, between service advisors and technicians and everybody communicating within the business. Communication is the number one lost thing, and the number one thing that gets us low reviews and no stars and that type of stuff is normally a communication problem.
Is that your strength, Tony?
I would say that's probably my biggest strength is communication that way. So, yes.
You see where the breakdown is and you step in. Do you write new policies? Is it the culture that you're building all on communication? Explain to me.
Very much so. So, you know, in a lot of cases, you need to be able to have your staff doing things that you're thinking, not that you're actually saying. So if you are trained properly and communicate properly between your staff and even with your customers, then everybody has a clear expectation and clearly defined roles and knows what they need to do within that. So if you have a customer, for instance, that you've communicated to the same way multiple different times and stuff, and then all of a sudden you change that and you don't communicate that, or you don't send a digital inspection, or you don't do something that way, then you just lost that with that customer and everything, and they're wondering why you changed it.
I remember you were telling me, yeah, I'm the millennial second gen son. I got all the grunt work. You're not doing grunt work anymore, right?
Not at this point in time. I still sell probably 60 to 70% of what we're doing, and that's slowly starting to decrease with a key person that we brought on and stuff. But I'm definitely still involved, you know, heavily that way day to day and stuff at this point in time. But that evolution, we're trying to get down to probably a 50-50 split by the middle of the year, and hopefully maybe 60-40 and everything by the end of the year, and still maintain the momentum that we have and still grow.
Is that strategy all about getting Dad to slow down?
That strategy is about our succession plan and working him out of having to be here every single day. For instance, you know, for the most part and everything, he's here 4 days a week at this point in time, and maybe not every single waking hour of the day, or maybe a couple hour lunch and stuff and everything, but pretty well day-to-day wise, he's not involved hardly at all. People don't go back to his office. They don't channel anything through him. That all runs through me at this point in time, as well as, like I said, 60 to 70% of the sales at this point in time too.
As far as meeting with Dad, do you guys connect like every day and talk?
So one thing that's been very, very good over the last probably year and a half was a thing that, he got out of a book called Traction and everything. And we meet once a week on Tuesday mornings at 6:15, and we meet from 6:15 in the morning until 7:30 in the morning, right when we open and stuff. And we talk about wins and losses of the previous week and where we're going this week and what our wins and losses are thus far this week and where we envision the week going. And then we also talk about quarterly goals and mid-year goals and then yearly goals with that. But a lot of that conversation has nothing to do with, you know, talking about parts or dealing with customers or anything like that. It's all talking about the business and working on the business together as a team that way to bring me along to help me get to the point that he's at.
And it's collaborative.
Yes, very much so. So I bring ideas to the table. He brings ideas to the table. We collaborate and kind of come up together with our own thing. And that's been very helpful, I think, for both of us and everything. Because I think some of the problem with succession is the fact that the owner's not sure what they're going to do in that next step and everything. And for those of us that are second generation or millennials or in a succession plan or in a relation father-son business, we basically need to have that help and guidance from our elders or our owners or our fathers or whatever that way and stuff. It's very important to be able to pull that back into the business through the younger person in the business.
But you want it, right?
Yes, I want it and I need it. And that's probably the maturity level that has taken me maybe a couple of years to get to is so much I was just pounding it that, you know, I want to do it my way and I need to do it my way all the time and stuff. And that's something that I've had to learn and mature over and say, you know what, I need to look at it from all avenues and I need to look at it from my father's perspective, my perspective. And then if I blend that, I'll probably usually come up with the best perspective.
Yeah. And in so many family businesses, there are family dynamics and challenges. And I think what I just heard you say, and confirm or deny, that your maturity over the years has gotten you over that hump?
It has, and everything. And I'm not going to say that there's still not moments that are different that way and stuff, because you are a father-son relationship in that respect. But yes, that's taken probably more maturity on my level and everything, and more change in my feelings and directions that way to try to make this work.
You know that 70% of professional technicians install Moog? Do you know who is best in class in engineering R&D? Do you know who holds 47 patents and has 28 dedicated engineers on staff? Yeah, Moog. You should know that 85% of Moog socket-style components are manufactured in North America, and that makes Moog best in class for manufacturing. And since 1966, every NASCAR championship has been won on Moog parts. But you knew that. I know why you install Moog. They solve your problems. Over the years, Moog has provided problem-solving innovations like a patented Preston cover plate, powdered metal gusher bearing technology, compression-loaded ball joints with a pre-installed integral dust boot, and vertical control arm bushings. You know why you install Moog. Enhanced durability, improved performance, and ease of installation. For more information, go to moogparts.com. Now you know. Know why you install Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust? Every part that goes into a Felpro box is validated and approved by a Felpro engineer. Product testing and validation is an integral part of Felpro's engineering, manufacturing, and field testing, where vehicles undergo tests that log over 1 million miles every year. They also reach out to you, the pro, through technology blogs and their technical forums to listen, learn, and keep in touch with you. It's amazing to think that Felpro produces over 325,000 gaskets per day. That's 325,000 per day in their 1 million square foot facility in Skokie, Illinois. Under the same roof, engineering and manufacturing uphold Felpro quality utilizing 4,500 active production tools with tooling tolerances to 5 microns. Now that's smaller than a human hair. A tight tolerance like that ensures the sealing ability of Felpro gaskets. And their own in-house chem lab develops proprietary formulations like PermaDry Plus to produce 35,000 molded rubber sealing components every day. Plus, with Felpro, you get coverage from 1955 of 96% of all domestics and 93% of all import vehicles. So feel confident that with new engines and new technologies, Felpro will be there with innovative solutions to solve your customers' sealing problems. Felpro, the gaskets professionals trust. Go to felpro-only.com for more information. You know, millennials, Tony, have been called in a very positive sense, enthusiastic, tech savvy, entrepreneurial, opportunistic, knowledgeable, learned. On the negative side and the challenging side are lazy, unproductive, self-obsessed. Do you agree with any or all of those?
I would say a lot of those are accurate in everything. I would say in my particular instance, self-obsessed probably wouldn't be one of those in everything, but the tech savviness and all of the others and stuff, I could definitely see that is descriptions of me and stuff. But I think in a lot of cases, you know, I would not use laziness in my term. I'll outwork anybody and put in whatever hours I need to put in that way. But, you know, if a 60, 70-hour work week's needed, that's what I'm doing. If it means that, you know, I have a CSR that sometimes will say, well, golly, why don't we finish up at 5:30? It's like, we'll be done when the last customer leaves. And that's what customer service is. You take care of everybody based upon their needs and everything. And if we're here until 6 o'clock, we're here until 6 o'clock.
Did you get your work ethic from your dad?
Oh, yeah. My father probably put in, I don't know, probably 100-hour weeks, I'm sure, at some point in time in this business and stuff. He always told me, he said, your last name's Tadich. That means things aren't going to come easy, and that means you're going to work harder than everybody else, and that means you're going to have a lifestyle better than most other people also. You're going to reap the rewards that you put in the work for and everything, and that's really going to help you later on in life.
Where are you getting your knowledge, your discovery of being a good leader and running a great business?
I think very much that I've, especially in the last probably 5 years, I have tried to surround myself with people in this industry that are the leaders of this industry, people that I'm the dumbest person at the table, no matter what table I sit at. And I have no problem with that. I'm checking my ego, and I would rather be, you know, the least knowledgeable person in the room and learn from everybody else and sit there silent and soak it all in than be talking about what I know and what I know how to do and what I'm good at and everything. And I think that's been very, very important and very influential in where I've been at, not only with my father, but, you know, with people like a Bill Hill, people like Jerry Frank, people like a Barry Barrett, people like Keith McCrone, Ron Ipack, you know, multiple people that are heavily involved in this industry and stuff, and, you know, learn from them and take what they give you and actually implement it, which I think is the biggest problem in our industry is, yeah, you can pay everything that you want to pay to go to all these different groups and try to learn everything that you want to learn. But at the end of the day, if you go and you spent $2,000-$3,000 on a weekend with a 20 group and you didn't implement anything Monday morning, you just wasted money.
Okay, Tony, so you come back from a 20 group weekend. You've got a bunch of great ideas. You really believe they're going to be good for the company. You want to start implementing. Is that part of the meeting with Dad on Tuesday mornings? These are some really neat new ideas. And since you're a good salesperson, you obviously have to sell Dad on these ideas?
Very much so. And I call it the 400-600% rule. And I've kind of coined that. And that basically is you get meetings, you go to for 3-4 days or 2 days or whatever, and you make a short list of 4 to 6 items that you are going to implement 100% within X amount of time. Usually I shoot for 30 days within that meeting. So I spent time at a bolt-on technology seminar. I came back with 12 things that I needed to implement, and I had all of those implemented within 30 days. And you got to 100% implement them. You can't, you know, take in and write down 50 ideas and only implement 2, you know. That's why you got to do 4 to 6. Most people can handle 4 to 6 items from that. And you may have to go back to that same meeting multiple times, and you may get 4 to 6 new items each time. But that is very important, and that is discussed in our morning meetings and stuff of how we're going to do that.
So does Dad have to just give you the God bless? Do you have to, do you win some, lose some?
I win some and I lose some. Yeah, there's definitely some losses in there. So in a lot of cases, I may bring something to the table that I may think is this great idea and it's going to work and everything. And he may be able to say, you know what? I tried that 5 years ago and it was not successful. And I don't think it's going to work this time. But for what you just brought to the table, I see a different vision of it. And I think we can reinvent it and do it this way.
I guess he just wants to see you be so successful, yet he's got some wisdom, but yet has that great leadership ability to want to see a different view of a solution.
And I think a lot of times too, you know, in these older type of businesses with older guys and stuff, the business sometimes can become stale. So if you have the same owner for, you know, 33 years, 40 years, 20 years, what have you, and the business becomes stale, a lot of times it needs a more energy and new energy and stuff. And I think a lot of us millennials and second generation kids and stuff can bring that to the table to really give that business a shot in the arm and say, you know what, we're going to reinvigorate this place and we're going to take it on to the next level. You know, there's times that I question whether or not without millennials and stuff, would we have digital inspections right now if we were a company surrounded of just 50-year-olds? Will we do some of these things with texting people and emailing people and taking pictures of vehicles and stuff? I don't know that we would if it wasn't for the younger generation.
Great comment about if it wasn't for the millennials, we probably wouldn't have DVI. Everyone says you have to communicate with a millennial through texting and through their smartphone. And so that's a profound thought. I'm not necessarily sure that the millennials invented it, but for the reason to do business with the millennials, it probably was invented. So systems, I'm sure as a millennial, you love systems, you love processes. Have you brought any updates to the company?
Quite a few in a lot of cases. I mean, we're very small. Like I said, small town, small company, you know, small shop and stuff. And we produce some pretty large numbers at times and everything. And you know, I think through bringing in systems of the stuff that people see, you know, I had an idea a long time ago and stuff of just washing every single car. And, you know, I've never had a customer walk back and say, you know what, man, you did a great job on our brakes. I just really love those brakes you put on. But they'll walk back across the parking lot and say, I really appreciate you washing my car. And there for a while, we even stopped washing cars like in the wintertime because we get a lot of snow and stuff. And it's kind of a pain in the butt to bring a car in, thaw it out, wash it, and send it back out. But, you know, there's something to be said about when you got all these dirty, slushy roads that the customer walks out and they see that car shining and everything. And
they probably appreciate it even more in the winter.
Exactly. It gets all the salt off of it and it takes care of the car better. So, you know, there's some important things like that. One thing that I brought to the table early on is we do a thing with a discount program called Care Club where people buy a card from us and get discounts and everything that way and stuff. And I wanted to tie that with something else. So my idea was, okay, can we tie that with a gas card? Can we tie it with a local pizzeria gift card? Can we tie it with the local Subway owner's gift card? Can we tie it with the local Dairy Queen owner's gift card in the month of July when it's hotter than hell out? Can we tie this and help other businesses and stuff? And people really seem to enjoy that also. So we've used that gimmick and kind of tied those together and stuff. And that really seems to work.
So name something that you've tried that didn't work.
I really tried to push the paperless side of our business way too fast when we first implemented digital vehicle inspections and stuff. And I really tried to take us paperless probably quicker than I should have. And I had to have the reins pulled back on me.
Okay. Yeah. So you backed off, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to get there, right?
No, we've been there for over a year now.
Oh, okay. All right. Great lesson.
Yeah, we implemented that, and I tried to go paperless within about the first, I don't know, 2 weeks, and that didn't work very well. So,
managing online reviews. In a small town, do you get reviews?
We really push reviews. I think I'm up to a little over 80 Google reviews in a small town at this point in time. We have an average rating of 4.8 stars. One thing that I feel it's very important, and people can pay people to do this, you can do it yourself, but I feel it's very important that you respond to every single review and that response feels like it's a response that is genuine and from your company. Unfortunately, some of the companies that are out there, they give canned responses that way and stuff, and it's not as, it doesn't feel as personal that way in most cases when it's a canned response. You got to respond to every single review. And one tip that I've learned with that is don't respond to Facebook reviews for the most part, because you can get into a decent conversation of going back and forth with a Facebook review, and that cannot be a positive image that you want on your Facebook page.
Great advice. Thank you for that. The percentage of maintenance and repairs inside your business.
probably around the 50-50 mark, I would say. So we really try to push maintenance in a lot of cases. And I would say that's a number that's probably grown over the years. We may be more 60-40 on that and stuff too.
How are you pulling that off? Are you setting future appointments?
Yes, we do set future appointments. We pre-book every single oil change through our bolt-on technology software. We also pre-book fluid flushes. I mean, you may come in for a coolant flush today, and I'm a 3-year, 36,000-mile guy on a coolant flush in the climate that we're in, and my system will automatically pre-book you for your next coolant flush in 2020. We do that with brake fluid flushes. We do that with multiple other items, alignments, BG fuel system cleanings, things like that and stuff, to be able to keep that ball rolling and keep that book that way.
It seems so necessary in a tiny town. Are you pulling people in from any neighboring towns?
Yeah, we pull a decent amount from out of town and stuff. We have 6 loaner cars. I get people. I had a person today that drove in from about 45 minutes away just to have their vehicle serviced from us, and drove by probably 17 shops on the way here. I think when you provide a unique feeling and you make people remember how they felt in this business, that's the key to making them come back and drive from anywhere and everywhere.
Well, you know, when I moved from the suburbs to the country where I am, if it wasn't within a block of where we lived, it was too far to drive. And then I came out here. It was like, oh, the next town is 10 miles away. It's a piece of cake. You know, you just go.
I one time had a gentleman that was a customer here, a longtime customer and stuff, and he's since passed, but he moved to New York for about a 2-year stint. And he took his car to a shop in New York, and I remember him calling me and saying, you know, I really don't like what they're doing and how I feel and stuff. It's just weird and stuff. And about, 2 months later on a Thursday, he shows up and he says, can you work on my Buick? And I'm like, yeah, we can fit you in, Steve. And he's like, I drove all the way from New York just so you could do an oil change and a couple fluid flushes and everything. I'm going to spend the weekend and drive home on Sunday. And he did that for about 2 years and everything. So that was my longest traveling customer for a consistent period of time.
Any hybrids in Bremen, Indiana?
You know, that is a unique question there, because that is one focus that I'm starting to have, and to the point where I even leased a brand new hybrid for a loaner vehicle. I have a 2017 Camry hybrid. That's what we use as our hybrid vehicle when hybrid stuff comes in. So we took a look at that and everything, and there's not a ton, but the thing you have to keep in mind with hybrid owners are usually maintenance conscious, and they are usually green conscious. So they want to hear about what you're doing as far as recycling and what you're doing this way and how you help the climate and everything. The great thing that I found is you don't have to do hardly anything with the hybrid system. You have to make them feel like you're capable of working on their car, which we all are. So the big important thing that I found, we did a marketing piece that was directed to just hybrid owners and everything. And I think we sent it out to 2,500 people or something along that lines. And the very first customer that came into our shop was with an 07 Prius, higher mileage, had not done any maintenance at all. No fluid flushes, no tune-up, no brakes, no nothing, no struts, you know, since they own the car. And I think they owned it since 50 or 60,000 miles. And that very first customer that came in our shop spent $3,000 and loved us and everything, raved about us. And 2 weeks later brought me his non-hybrid vehicle that was another $2,000 ticket. So, you know, getting somebody in just with hybrid type of stuff doesn't mean that you just have to work on their hybrids. You may unlock all their other vehicles and their kids' vehicles and everything. And it's very important to be able to open yourself up to being able to work on hybrids that way. I think, you know, you don't have to know as much about that type of stuff as everybody makes it feel. My father tells a story all the time. When he started this business, he was told, you can't stay in this business. They're going to change those carburetors to computers. And nobody's going to know what to do with those computers. And he's like, you know, I'm 23 years old. I got a long life ahead of me. I gotta make this work. So, and I'm at the same point. I'm 29 years old. And you know what? They're going to change vehicles to hybrids and electric and everything else. I will figure out a way to make it work.
I think what you're saying is bring it on.
Yeah, very much. And I found, I did a lot of research here lately, and we had to make a technician change. And I found the only independently certified hybrid technician in the state of Indiana that had gone to school in northern Indiana and stuff on that. And he's been a great asset to our company. and he's 31 years old that is that hungry on hybrids and staying in this business. So nobody tell me that there's not techs out there that are young. There is. You just got to find them.
Your testimony to that. Tony, what's holding you back right now?
If I had to say anything and stuff, it's probably just the sheer size of our town. You know, could I get us to start pulling in more and everything? Yeah, it may take more assets as far as loaner vehicles or bigger building and stuff like that. But, you know, we have in what I think probably an untapped potential right now in gross sales, probably $200,000 to $300,000 of untapped potential in this small town. My game plan right now is to look second facility in the year of 2019 and go from there and stuff. But, you know, that's probably the biggest thing. And sometimes still a maturity level sometimes holds you back when you're millennial and second generation and stuff. You gotta think before you speak.
Are you hard on yourself?
I would probably say so. It'd probably not to where anybody would notice that. I suppress that type of stuff and everything and deal with it my own way. I do feel my father is hard on me at times, which could sometimes lead to, you know, a little bit of a strain that way and stuff. But you know what? Every time I look back that he's been hard on me, it was for the right reason and in the right way. And, you know, I expect him to be harder on me than he is on anybody else because he is my father and he is my leader and my mentor and everything that way. And he's a person that's going to help make me better. And sometimes if I don't see me needing improvement, he sees me needing improvement and he'll point it out.
Is Dad proud of you?
I would say so. My dad is not a person that says great job or rah, rah, or any of that type of crap very often. But, you know, when he talks to other people, sometimes I get some rumblings back that is a very positive thing that he says and stuff. And I do think that he is very proud of me and where we're at. And, you know, the bigger thing with this too is it's not just me. And I told one of my guys this a little bit earlier and stuff. And he's like, well, What are you doing? What do you got to go behind a closed door for and stuff? And I said, well, I'm going to be on this podcast thing. And I said, you know, I said, the most important thing with that though, is that for me to be able to be in the position that I am in now and where I'm at, it hasn't just been me. It's been the team of guys that have been past employees here, the team of guys that are still current employees here. We have two guys I've spent almost 7 years with and everything that have been very influential and key people. You know, that's the train that's gotten us to where we're at. It's not just Mike. It's not just Tony. It's not just, you know, TMT. It's the team of TMT that's gotten us to where we are.
I got it. And it's so good to hear you say that because it sounds like the business culture inside of TMT is really big.
It is very much so. And you know, I had to, in January, I probably had one of the scariest things that I've had happen as far as dealing with culture and dealing with people. We had a person that wasn't a great culture fit, and we had to deal with the fact that that person was our number one producer the previous year, the entire year, and that person decided that they were leaving. And guess what? When I got that information, Dad was in Florida for like 3 weeks, so I had to figure out what to do with that and everything. And I accepted resignation, and I felt that it was probably a positive move for both of us. Wish them the best in their future endeavors and everything, and we moved on. And since we've moved on, our culture has increased exponentially. I mean, it's the person that we replaced with was just a much better culture fit and much more enthusiastic in the shop, and it lowered our age of our employees and stuff. And I was able, fortunate enough to be able to produce a guy that is also a number one producer in our shop also. And I wasn't worried about it. That was the biggest thing to me, is by doing proper practices and hiring all the time and everything, I had a stack of people that I was ready to contact anyways. I didn't lose a step. I was without a technician for 1 week because of proper hiring practices.
29, you seem to have your head extremely bolted on very well, no pun intended. Tony, what's the most unexpected thing you've learned along the way?
Probably the most unexpected thing was I thought this was just going to be a cakewalk and easy and everything that way. I didn't think that, you know, the amount of work that's gone in to get me to where I'm at and to get us to where we're at and everything was going to be such a hard mountain to climb. Really, in that mountain, I look at our mountain is we're probably 90% up that side, and we're at that last 10% that's the steepest climb and stuff to get to where we want to go. And I never would have thought that would be that steep that way.
Tony, I'm going to ask you a Tim Ferriss question. If you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, what would it say?
Don't get too high with the highs or too low with the lows. It's a Cal Ripken quote. And basically what it means is you do something, you know, great or spectacular. Don't lift yourself all the way up to that. Try to stay more even keeled and even minded, as well as if you have something really, really bad going on, try to stay in that middle and stay grounded that way properly, to where you can handle everything properly.
If you had a chance to have a platform, and you do right here on the show, and there's an awful lot of millennial sons and daughters of second and third generation, give them some good advice.
The big thing that I see with millennials and people that I talk to and everything is you need to work in the business in some sort of facet. If you're going to run the business, you need to work in the front. You need to be working in the front on a day-to-day basis. You need to not be scared of that. You need to put in that hours with that. You know, like you said in the beginning, you know, millennials have a thing of being lazy and not having a strong work ethic. But, you know, there's a lot of untapped potential in all these little business incubators that are automotive repair facilities. And if our millennial type of generation steps up and does what we need to do and everything, we can turn these small businesses into spectacular businesses and grow and improve this industry and bring this industry up to a level that it's never been seen of. And I think it just takes the millennials putting their nose to the grindstone and working and doing that. Whether you're starting in the back as a tech or whether you're stepping up and doing stuff in the front, but you can't be scared to work and you can't try to move the race too fast. I'm one of the guys in our group that I'm still a service advisor for the most part. Yes, I'm the general manager. That's my title. But a lot of what I do day to day is service advising and running the shop through the service advisor position and everything. There's not enough room in these small little businesses to have a high paid general manager that doesn't write service and isn't producing sales. So your salary needs to come off of the cost of goods side of the P&L, not the expense side of the P&L or owner pay or anything like that. You know, you need to really step up and earn your keep in some way, shape, or form in that business.
Hey, thanks for being here. I so enjoyed this. I am so happy we bumped into each other at Vision. Another commitment for you to get out there and learn stuff, right? So, Tony Tadich, TMT Complete Auto Service, Bremen, Indiana, second gen. Thanks for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me, Carm.
Hey, aftermarketers, thank you for joining us. Now, for an in-depth episode experience, don't miss the show notes for this episode with Tony Tadich at remarkableresults.biz/E231. I just loved Tony's spirit and his very strong personal disciplines. It looks like he and his dad have a great formula worked out. Hey, don't forget how easy it is to listen on iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, or Stitcher, and other podcast portals. I also have my own app available on the iOS or Android App Store. Just search for Remarkable Results Radio. And don't forget email. Find me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head on over to the contact page on the website. Thank you so much for your support.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.